Nick Script, P2W Fantasy Podcast. We are talking misses. I'm a big proponent on celebrating victories as a content creator. Just tweeting a take is one thing, but creating some sort of graphic, short video, long video, TikTok, whatever you're making on a player and it hitting is something you should be proud of. It can help build your credibility as someone who gives advice. On the flip side, it's important to be accountable for the misses. I actually do this often, I feel like. I will quote tweet or tweet in general some L's I take. One of the few creators I truly look up to, JJ Zacharyson, he does this weekly on his podcast, and I respect that. He reflects on both, the hits and the misses. So personally, when that fantasy receipts account popped up, I did block the page instantly before it had any of a following. Why? Because pages like that are all for drama. They're all for throwing shade on bad takes. Like, I do that shit myself. I don't need a Twitter page to do it for me. So with that, here are some of my misses, what I was thinking, where it went wrong, and any sort of outlook I have maybe for the future on a couple of players. This is going to make me look like I missed a ton and a bunch, but in reality, I'm pretty proud of myself on the hits that I made this year and the calls that turned out well for this 2022-23 season. For me, great year of content that I think helped more than it hurt people. We will save the good reflection for later. I did enough clipping throughout the season and, you know, again, have a lot of stuff that I did well. But let's talk about some things that went south. So first, I labeled Elijah Moore as a true breakout for the year. Many were high on him, but I have been a guy that has been a stan, a truther. In his final season at Ole Miss 2020, he caught 86 balls for 1,193 receiving yards and 8 touchdowns in just 8 games. Per game, we're talking 10 catches, nearly, my numbers messed up on my notes, but 150 receiving yards almost and a touchdown. Good prospect who handled volume well. Rookie season, we saw an explosion weeks 9 through 13 with 4 different Jets quarterbacks. He had 3 games over 20 fantasy points during that span. He had 141 receiving yard day. He scored a bunch of touchdowns. He had high target volume. He looked like a stud. 2021, he was a true bust, finishing as wide receiver 81 overall in 16 games. Garrett Wilson was the alpha there. Another take I'll say that I was wrong on when I was saying it was the opposite. It was going to be Elijah is the one and Garrett Wilson is the two. 10 appearances under 5 targets. Couple games played under 50% of the snaps. Can we point at the lack of a connection between him and Zach Wilson? Zach Wilson just being bad. Can we look at Robert Saleh, the offensive playbook? We know there was drama between Elijah Moore and the team internally. So, you know, bunch of behind the scenes stuff, I'm sure, that impacted the way he probably presented himself at practice every day. I was actually hoping Chicago made a move to grab him as an Elijah Moore and a Chicago fan, but they went the Chase Claypool route. So lots of factors. Overall, though, he was useless for fantasy and a bad pick. Do I think Elijah Moore is good at football? Absolutely. He's 22 years old. Is there a chance that the Jets bring in a veteran quarterback? Absolutely. Could the combination of a good player and a new, more competent quarterback bring Elijah Moore back into fantasy relevancy? I do think that's possible as the wide receiver too, hopefully for the Jets for the coming season. Chase Edmonds was a guy I dropped some content on that I felt was a good sleeper running back for Miami. At the time of the take, Sony Michel and Raheem Mostert were the only two running backs in the system, and Edmonds was the one that was actually making money. Weeks 1 through 8 in 2021 prior to injury, Edmonds was the running back 17 with 50% of his games played at 14-plus fantasy points and 4 to 7 catches. So I was looking at a potential system in Miami where he was the lead back and had dual threat ability where most offenses would be focusing in on Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. He ended up having a 2-touchdown game in week 3, which meant like 15-ish fantasy points. Other than that, he touched the ball over 10 times just once in Miami, which later was the Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert show. Edmonds ended up spending 5 weeks as a Denver Bronco with one like semi-relevant week in week 17. Running back 60 overall, though, huge L. I'd say most people didn't see this coming. Maybe you were out on him at cost, but I doubt anyone was like this out on him. Only thing to note here is that Latavius Murray is hitting free agency. Javonte Williams will be recovering from that ACL tear. Edmonds will be one of few healthy backs on the roster for next season as of today in Denver. So maybe he's a player you can stash because of the situation over there. Devontae Parker was not indeed a sleeper. 2019 Devontae Parker had a big breakout year as the wide receiver 13 who averaged 15 points per game. We saw a guy that was a big play, deep threat with touchdown upside. Looking at New England, I thought he had an opportunity for a big role, especially seeing that they went out and traded for him. Two games of 20-plus fantasy points for the entire 1 through 18-week season, five total at 10-plus fantasy points, but he just wasn't relevant. Not someone you needed to even roster, to be honest. He missed time. He played just 13 games, but wide receiver 70 overall was not directly because of him missing time. He'll be back in New England for 2023. There's a chance that Jacoby Myers departs for free agency. That can impact his role, but at 30, it's not like he's going to progress into what he was in 2019, just to be completely honest there. A tight end that I liked was Brevin Jordan coming into the year. I liked him as a prospect out of Miami. 50% of his eight games played his rookie season, he was a top 12 fantasy tight end. So you looked at Houston coming into this season and said, hey, outside of Brandon Cooks, the targets were going to be up for grabs. He played just 11 games. He was banged up. When healthy, though, he had just one top 12 week, and it was a weaker scoring fantasy outing. His teammate Jordan Akins was the tight end to roster. He was boom or bust, but he had 4 weeks as a top 10 fantasy tight end on the year. Jordan Akins is a 30-year-old free agent now, though. Is there a world where Houston upgrades their quarterback room via draft at the number two spot and that Brevin Jordan can grow and develop? Sure. Maybe a stash depending on the depth of your dynasty league. Some guys I listed as late-round dart throws that would have missed your dart poured completely, meaning if you threw that dart, it was going nowhere. Guys I mentioned in the draft guide, AJ Green, Mike Davis, Jamison Crowder, Jalen Tolbert, Darrell Williams, useless. I said I was out on Chris Godwin because I thought he would miss far more time than he actually did. He barely missed time, and he ended up being slightly better than his draft cost. I made content writing off Jacoby Myers, but he finished inside the top 30. I have since then pivoted on my take for him, and I feel like he is a guy that's going to be interesting come free agency this offseason. He might be looked at right now as a dynasty buy before he finds potentially a new home. I was like, you know, most people too low on Josh Jacobs and Miles Sanders. I think I was still like slightly above ADP for Josh Jacobs, but still far too low. I was way too low on Tony Pollard. I traditionally have been a Tony Pollard hater, so seeing the amount of work that he had and then the big games that he had this season, I definitely whiffed on Tony Pollard. I was too high on Deontay Johnson, even though he still finished the season as one of the most targeted players. No touchdowns and having the low receiving yard ceiling did not help his case. Too low on Amon-Ra St. Brown, who I have completely switched up on. I legit overpaid for him in two of my home dynasty leagues. So I went from being out on Amon-Ra St. Brown at cost completely to being too far into Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, this is a guy I feel strongly about for dynasty leagues, even with Jameson Williams, you know, hopefully being healthy next season. I love me some Amon-Ra St. Brown. Kyle Pitts, I was extremely high on. I can dive into why, but I feel like that discussion is overplayed at this point. Do I still feel he is a top three dynasty tight end? Absolutely, but when I made content about him being appropriately drafted and that I thought he was the third best tight end you can roster, that was a bad take at the end of the day, and you just have to say, hey, maybe a guy is very good. Maybe a guy has a great dynasty outlook, but he was a bad redraft pick at the end of the day. I try to leave injured guys out of this discussion. Guys missing time due to injuries and being impacted by them shouldn't mean you take an L necessarily, even if it was a player who is quote-unquote injury prone that you liked. Like, I won't talk too much about DeAndre Swift being a huge, you know, L and miss, even though technically it was. I was very high on DeAndre Swift. I think I had him like RB4. His injury had a big impact on him, and I think it also impacted him when he came back from injury. I think they in Detroit were very hesitant on giving him tons of touches, just knowing the last 2 years he's been banged up. But you can look and say, hey, well, that was an L, but I might say, hey, you know, I think the injury had an impact. I can go through my full rankings and where I missed and, you know, go player by player, but hopefully this podcast just had some justice in creating some further accountability for me as a content creator. If you have not seen me do it on Twitter, so if you, you know, type in some keywords at P2W Fantasy on Twitter and look for, you know, just L or the word accountability or the word accountable or the word miss, you'll find stuff that I do plug. I'm sure I'm annoying at times, and I'll clip the good stuff, the hits for the week. But again, I think both can make you credible as a content creator. Mostly the hits, you know, I think the misses just kind of show that, hey, you know, I can acknowledge where I was wrong. The hits are going to be what really drives your credibility as an analyst. But I have a separate podcast diving into that. But I wanted to outline a couple of guys and a couple of the bigger L's I took this season. Everybody's going to have them at the end of the day. Nobody's going to be spot on everywhere. But trucking along this offseason, if you are still interested in year-round football, I'll be here doing that. Mostly dynasty stuff, but I'll improvise from time to time. I'll start to get guests back on this podcast as well. Enjoy the week. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Have a good one, guys.